Good afternoon, Vinod. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm pleased to be here.
You've been doing a certain amount of research into the concept of tethered satellites, or if you like, satellites on a string. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the gravity field of the Earth, and which an understanding of which is really necessary for understanding how you can put a satellite on a string.
Well, as you know, the Earth's gravitational field varies inversely as the square of the distance. So, as you go away from the center of the Earth, the gravitational field diminishes. This has an advantage in terms of imparting stability to a satellite if it is configured in a particular fashion. By this I mean, if we have a satellite which is long along the direction of the gravitational field, which we call as along the local vertical, then that satellite will tend to come back to its original equilibrium position, meaning thereby along the local vertical when disturbed from that orientation. A good example is Moon. Moon is an oblate spheroid. It's not completely perfect sphere, and this makes the Moon to face the Earth in certain orientation so that we are able to see only certain portion of the Moon all the time.
I see. Most people would have wondered why it is we ever only see one side of the Moon.
That's right.
And that's because of the gravity
gradient
holding the Earth, of the Earth holding the Moon
in a certain orientation,
in a certain way.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And you can apply the same idea then to satellites.
Correct. In fact, there are more than 40 scientific satellites that I know of which have been stabilized using this particular concept. Perhaps the one of the most interesting one was the Radio Astronomy Explorer Satellite, in acronym referred to as RAE. I think it was launched sometimes in late 60s, around 1968 or so. It had four booms forming a cross, each one extending to 750 feet or tip-to-tip distance of 1500 feet. And this is so as to take advantage of the variation of gravity over that distance, which in turn provides a correcting moment to align the satellite in a particular orientation.
So if the satellite gets slightly turned around, the gravity pulls it back in line again.
Exactly, exactly. The one limitation of this particular concept is the degree of pointing accuracy it can provide. By this I mean, for a communication satellite which normally fly at the height of 36,000 kilometers, the pointing accuracy requirement is typically anywhere from 1/10 of a degree to 1/100 of a degree. So if we are talking about a communication link between, say, Vancouver in Canada, where I come from, and Melbourne, Australia, then a signal sent from Vancouver will be received by the communication satellite. It will be amplified by the onboard transponder and then transmitted to Melbourne, which will be received by a ground-based terminal. Now, if a satellite, say through some external disturbance, for example, micrometeorite impact, incidentally, a typical communication satellite can receive such disturbances continuously through variation of solar radiation pressure, variation in the Earth's magnetic field and so forth. This in turn will cause the satellite to deviate from its preferred orientation. Now if it deviates from, for example, 1/10 of a degree, it is very simple arithmetic to figure out that the beam will describe an arc of more than 6 kilometers on the ground, thus posing a possibility of disrupting communication. So pointing accuracy is very demanding, of the order of around 1/10 of a degree. Coming to the gravity gradient satellite, we can get the pointing accuracy of the order of around 3-4 degrees, not better than that, meaning thereby gravity gradient stabilization is normally not applied to communication satellites. However, for near-Earth satellites like weather satellites or scientific satellites, this is the ideal way of a passive stabilization. By passive, I mean it doesn't require any expenditure of energy.
That means that these satellites then don't need the fuel that the other communication satellites need in order to keep themselves pointing correctly.
That precisely so. In fact, this is what decides the life of a satellite. In the early stages of space exploration, the satellite lifetime was perhaps at the most of around 4 years. Now it has extended to between 8 and 10 years. However, the stabilization is normally achieved through active procedures by micro thrusters fired by hydrazine or some inert gases. And once that supply of fuel is exhausted, we have no control. Satellite starts stumbling and there is no permanent ground link. So we have to discard the satellite, although structurally and in terms of integrity of electronics, it is still operational. But we don't have the fuel to control its attitude. So it is almost like throwing away a costly Rolls-Royce every time it runs out of gas.
Right. And of course, satellites are more expensive than Rolls Royces, of course.
Exactly. A typical communication satellite will cost anywhere from $60 to $80 million.